Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, baby.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and that, of course, was a very bad impersonation of the Big Bopper by the Colonel. Today's topic is the day the music died, and of course we're referring to February 3rd, 1959, the event that led to the death of rock and roll stars Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and JP the Big Bopper Richardson. But before we get into the topic, we've been off for a couple of weeks. I mean, you guys, can you do a podcast without me once?
No.
Well, we don't.
You have all the stuff.
Do one without me.
We're not going to do any. I'm not doing anything. Me and Brittany come as a team.
You guys didn't do one without me while I was gone.
No,
we couldn't do.
We are happy to report that we're joined. And last time, if you remember, when we did the Boston Corbett podcast, that was very, very good until that last part about that Colonel did. It was very good, but it was a sad occasion because young Brittany was leaving us. But it turns out that young Brittany couldn't live without us.
Yeah.
We've come to an agreement, and young Brittany is going to join us most of the time.
Hopefully.
Hopefully most of the time. So all you young Brittany fans out there.
I'm back.
She's Brittany's back.
Brittany's back. Bitch is back.
No, I wouldn't say that. So how have you been, young Brittany?
I'm good.
Brittany, you're looking quite tan over there, girl.
Yeah, I like the sunlight.
What you been doing in your free time now?
So you really haven't been working. You've just been laying by the pool.
Yeah, vacation for 2 weeks. I've had 14 Saturdays in a row, which means I just relax and do what I want.
You got the life
I just do what
about.
You want.
Yep.
Do what you want.
See, when you're young and attractive, you can do what you want, Chuck.
You are looking lovely. You're looking healthy. You're looking rested and refreshed.
Yes.
She does.
Indeed.
Well, we're glad that you're still a part of the team, and I know our listeners will be as well. Now, they're probably not excited about my next introduction, but Brandy is brown-haired beauty. Brandy is, of course, with us again today, as always. She never leaves.
As always.
She never leaves.
She like the mother-in-law that moves into the house.
Beauty. Yeah. Did you hear him say
That's
that?
That's hurtful.
That was nice.
Yeah, brown-haired beauty.
Nice. It was very nice of him.
Yeah. How are you, Brandy?
I'm well, Tim.
No, I'm just kidding you. Of course, you know the show would not be the same without you.
It'd be better.
It wouldn't.
No, it would not be better, Colonel.
My goodness.
For someone
who just almost lost their job, you're awful mouthy.
And we're also joined, of course, as always, by the very distinguished, honorable, and unattractive Colonel, I mean, that haircut dude has got... Renee, you did a fine job, but it's a little close.
Well, you never want to ask your wife for a haircut. Now, first of all, I wouldn't have got a haircut if you wouldn't have been nagging me and old brown-haired devil over here wouldn't have been on my ass.
You're trying to give a more corporate image to the
program. That I had a mullet or whatnot.
Well, you did have a mullet.
Yeah, it looked like shit before. I'm just saying it now.
It looked like shit before.
So then I tell my wife, look here, girl. I need a haircut. And she's like, but I'm hungry. I was like, I ain't I don't want to hear no excuses.
Right.
Go get the cutters, cut my hair.
You just ask me how high.
Well, that's what I thought.
You couldn't have gone to Supercuts.
Huh?
You couldn't have gone to Supercuts.
You know what I don't like about Supercuts?
I told you not to get the prison
hair. They got the phone app now. Okay?
Oh, man, I hate that.
So you walk in there, and ain't nobody there.
Right? And you still have to wait 45 minutes.
And then all of a sudden, like, 3-4 some bitches walk in there. It's like Ted Cruz. They walk right in front of you. They start calling out the damn name. Like, five people walk in.
That pisses me off, too. I really hate it.
It's like, hold on. What the hell? I'm here in person.
Did you check in online? No. I didn't
check in on.
It'll be 45 minutes.
Let's not take ourselves seriously. You ain't none but damn Supercuts here. I ain't trying to get a CAT scan. I just want a haircut now.
You know, and they're all tatted all up too.
I wouldn't even mind that if
never seemed to bother you.
And then here's the thing I don't like too.
I'm dating him, but for my haircut.
If I give you, the haircut's typically $12,
right?
And I give you a 20,
right?
You don't give me 8 singles back like I'm going to give you a $7 tip.
Put it in their garter.
Yeah. I firmly believe that if it's something, you know, in the Colonel and against tipping, I tip pretty well.
You're known for your generosity.
But for $12, you're getting a $3 tip. We all know that. It comes to $15. Exactly. It rounds out. You spent 15 minutes on my hair. That's what you did.
So when the haircuts go up to $14, you're still getting a $15 tip.
You're getting a dollar tip. It's $15.
Still getting $15. Okay, well, Colonel, we're glad that you're here.
I do have a couple shout-outs.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know it was your turn.
Excuse me?
Yeah, let's do shout-outs first. Go ahead, Colonel.
Well, of course, we're always – the first shout-out to every show has to be to my Facebook friend – the lovely Dottie Scott.
Dottie!
She's upset we're not doing Patsy Cline. I kept saying we're
crazy.
Doing...
Crazy! Here you go, Dottie. This is for you, baby.
No!
Crazy! Crazy, Paul. Okay.
Dottie accepted my friend request. I was so excited.
Dottie was on a roll about that the other day.
Doesn't it make you feel like your whole Facebook page is rounded off when Dottie's your friend?
I was just like, yes.
But then I realized the other day that I answered somebody and I used the F word in my answer.
Did she scold you?
Oh, no, Dottie.
Dottie never scolds.
No, you know what? She listens to Howard Stern.
Oh, does she?
Yeah. She rolls with it. Yeah, my mom's cool.
So, and then I got to give a...
Believe me, she's heard the F word before. I can attest to that.
Shout out to two little rat sons of bitches that don't even listen to my damn podcast, but I got to read every paper you turn in for philosophy, English, whatever. The twins, and that's all I'm going to acknowledge them as today. The twins. They're turning 21 this weekend.
The
twisted twins.
Taylor and Tanner. And they listen to every show because the first downloads we get are from the Chicago area.
Yeah, but it ain't those fools. I'll tell them, hey, did you see the podcast the other day? It'd be pretty good. Oh, no, but, Dad, I'll catch up to that when I get a chance. You know, and it's interesting, Tim, because when we had the economy going really south.
Right.
Every week down here, because of my job, we would have the news down here.
Mm-hmm.
And they would interview me.
Right.
And they would interview me about the employment situation and whatever, and... I'd say, you know, I'll be on Channel 9 tonight at 6 or whatever. Do you know my boys? They never even watch it. Never even watch it.
Because they have to put up with your face when it's right there in front of them. Why do they want to turn on TV?
I'm not sure you'd be a big draw for me.
But you think you kids, you're going to be on TV, you know. They didn't care. Well, and then my second shout out goes to
your third shout out.
My third shout out the day after the twins' birthday. Is my lovely bride's birthday, Renee.
Yay! Happy birthday, Renee.
Yay, happy birthday.
She's going to be... I don't even know how old the woman is. She doesn't seem
25.
To age. She does not seem
to age.
Yeah,
she seems a lot younger than you.
She does seem a lot younger than me.
You always talk about me robbing the cradle.
But so wise, so much wiser.
She is wiser and younger looking.
Yeah. So those are my shout-outs. And we got dropped
that's a low
by
bar.
All of our sponsors. I have to say that.
The new sponsor?
No, we got dropped by our sponsors because of the brown-haired devil over here. They said that they did not like really their customers started boycotting.
What?
Yeah, she, but
for what? For being associated. Because she's got poor attitudes towards
like
things.
I'm Paula Deen.
Yeah, she's like the Paula Deen. Yeah.
Although she's not racist. She's just she hates everybody.
She's hateful. She's hateful.
But she's pleasantly
over here playing Candy Crush on the damn phone.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for you all to move on from ripping at me. So. At
Brandy.
I've had time to get through three games now.
How about your shout-out, Brandy?
I would like to make a shout-out.
Dude, Brandy went pedaling. I saw that. I'm so jealous. And there should be laws against that.
I went on a pedal bar, and it was fantastic. And I want to give a shout out to my friend Mandy Ross in Gahanna.
Gahanna. Do not send her any money over through the mail, no matter what she tells you.
I know. No. Their prince keeps calling her. Whatever. So I want to send a shout out to her and a shout out to a new friend that I made, Emily, who hopefully will start listening to the podcast when we post them. And that's all. I had an awesome time, and I want to get together and do some stuff again soon.
And Mandy listens to all our podcasts.
Mandy does.
Thank you, Mandy.
Well, thank you, Mandy.
And welcome, Emily. We hope that you join our
Legions of fans.
Legions of fans. I mean, it's a movement. It really is. It's crazy.
It's a grassroots thing.
Brittany, do you have any shout-outs?
No.
How about to your dad? How about to Bill?
Bill appreciates all the shout-outs that we've given him.
Well, we appreciate him listening.
Did Bill actually ask us to stop shouting out for
him? No.
Please don't ever
say that. Does Bill have a restraining order?
He's got a good drive to work. He listens to them on his way to and from.
Okay, let's go on to topic. I do have one shout-out to my cousin Steve, who's a really good guy. He's he had a health scare this past week, but everything is okay. Steve, brother, love you. Thank you. I'm glad everything worked out okay and look forward to seeing you soon.
And our thoughts and prayers were with you, Steve.
Yes.
Did you feel them?
Yes.
Because, you know, this show is, we've got like a reach. We got a straight, we got a hotline to God.
We got the red phone to God.
Yeah, I'm sure God listens. I did see where we had some downloads in heaven.
No.
Oh, did you?
Yes, yeah.
Really?
You know, we have one listener in Russia.
Are they faithful?
They're faithful. So, dude, or lady, ma'am, sir, whoever you are in Russia that listens to our podcast, check us out on Facebook and leave us a message. We would love to give you a shout out with you, given your name. We appreciate you listening.
If we can pronounce your name. We might mangle it up.
Yeah.
We mangle our own names.
Yeah,
Even if it's like Smith, we'd probably mess it up.
Yeah.
Right. But thank you for listening, comrade. Okay. So today's topic, I'm sorry, that was probably inappropriate. Maybe an American, whatever. But anyway, Day the Music Died. On February 3rd, 1959, rock and roll stars Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and J.P. the Big Bopper Richardson were killed in a plane crash near Clear Lake, Iowa. Also killed in that crash was their pilot, Roger Peterson. And every time I read this story and think about this story, the thing that amazes me about this whole thing is how young these guys were.
Mm-hmm.
I think the oldest one was the Big Bopper, right?
He was 29.
Yeah, he was 29. Buddy Holly was 22. He was the biggest star at the time. Ritchie Valens was only 17. And the pilot, Roger Peterson, was 21.
He was 21.
So almost all of these, except the Big Bopper, were younger than you, Brittany.
Mm-hmm.
And look what they did with their lives, and look where we are.
Yeah.
So,
that's not sad at all.
But the event became known, the plane crash became known February 3rd, 1959, as the day the music died, because these were three very young and very popular rock and roll musicians at the time whose influence still is around today. And, of course, the reference, the day the music died, is from a song by Don McLean, American Pie, that came out about 10 years after the plane crash. And everyone knows that song, so I'm not going to talk too much about that.
I'll just say something that's interesting, and I'll just roll right into Buddy Holly here.
Well, that would be good, but we're starting with the Big Bopper. But go ahead, please.
Say, throw out your interesting tidbit.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, you know, for all the fame and all
the... Had you been here for the pre-show meeting?
You would know this.
Yeah, well...
Didn't you listen?
For all of his accolades and everything else, Buddy Holly was only... He only had a career that lasted a year and a half.
Yeah, and Ritchie Valens was only like 9 months.
Yeah.
I mean, there was very short careers, but they all each had hit records. And we're going to talk about the plane crash. We're going to talk, but this is like four stories in one, because we're going to talk about the plane crash. But first, we're going to go through each of the artists, because each of them were, you know, a big deal. Buddy Holly, of course, the biggest star. So we're giving that role to the Colonel, since he felt like he got shafted on the last story.
Got shafted? What? You gave me like two sentences to do.
Okay. When I give assignments.
Yeah, somehow you stretched it into 20 minutes.
When I give assignments, it doesn't mean you have to stop there. When I give you links, you can do further research.
I don't get paid for extra credit here. No?
Okay.
So, Diva.
Yep.
Yeah.
Look, you're lucky. There was damn near a labor movement here, because Brittany doesn't like the way she's been treated. The Colonel don't like the way he's been treated.
We've not been issued an apology.
And there has been some unkind
words. I bought him a sandwich
yesterday. He did buy me.
Think about that.
Let me just say there was some unkind words said on Facebook, and I believe these unkind words were, "I wish I paid you so I could fire your ass."
But I don't pay you, so it all evens out. So, anyway, but you did feel shafted, because our last show was about Boston Corbett, the man who shot John Wilkes Booth, and there was a story that I thought was fascinating about a mummy of John Wilkes Booth that toured the country from 1865 to the 1970s, and yet all you could find is two paragraphs about it.
Because it was not John Wilkes Booth. There was a mummy that got put around. You know, the Amityville Horror, I could go on about that, but nothing happened. I mean, it's like the...
I gave it to you on a silver platter, and you dropped it.
You gave me Bigfoot is what you gave me. Something that don't exist and people talk about.
Okay, well, this time you got the star, Buddy
Holly. Your personality.
But before we get to... that's good. That's why you're on the show.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but before we get to the Buddy Holly and Ritchie Valens, let's start with the Big Bopper. And Brandy, you're going to tell us about J.P., the Big Bopper Richardson.
J.P. was born in Texas. He was the oldest son of an oil field worker. And he had two younger brothers. They moved to Beaumont, Texas, which was in Footloose, by the way, just putting that out there.
Is that where they couldn't dance?
They could dance in Beaumont. Beaumont was where Ren worked at the feed store.
Oh.
Was in Beaumont.
That's where the
feed store. Like cow feed, chicken feed.
Mm-hmm.
And the feed and grain. And that's where they had the dance at the end, was in Beaumont.
Okay.
So anyway, just a little tidbit.
That was really informational.
So was.
I like that.
So he graduated from Beaumont High School in 1947.
BSH.
Yes. BHS. He played on the football team. He was a defensive lineman.
He was a big guy, wasn't he?
He was a huge guy. He later studied pre-law.
That's why they called him the Big Bubba, not the Little Bubba.
He was.
Chuck and I were talking yesterday about Big Bopper, and we thought he was much older than...
I thought he was much older, and I always thought it was a little bit inappropriate him singing about high school girls anyway.
Yeah, but he wasn't that old. But go ahead.
Still 29. He's like the dude from Dazed and Confused.
He is. All right.
Don't judge, dude. Don't judge.
All right.
you, Timmy.
Richardson later studied pre-law at Lamar College, where he was a member of the band in the chorus. He worked part-time in Beaumont at the radio station KTRM, which is now KZZB, in case you were wondering. He was hired by the station full-time in 49.
Buzz?
Yes, probably. And he quit college. He married Adrian Joy Fryu. I can't say her name.
Right.
Yeah.
Adrian.
Adrian Joy Fryu. He screamed Rico.
dude, that's so bad.
On April 18th, 1952, they had a daughter, Deborah Joy. She was born in 1953. Soon after that, Richardson became promoted to supervisor of the announcers at KTRM. In March 1955, he was drafted into the Army, did his basic training at Fort Ord, California, and spent the rest of his 2 years service as a radar instructor in Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas. He was discharged as a corporal in 1957 and returned to KTRM radio, where he held down the dishwasher serenade shift from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., Monday through Friday. One of the station's sponsors wanted Richardson for a new time slot and suggested an idea for a show. Richards had seen the college students doing a dance called the Bop, and he decided to call himself the Big Bopper. His new radio show ran from 3 to 6 p.m., and Richardson actually soon became the station's program director. In May of 1957, he broke the record for continuous on-air broadcasting by 8 minutes. From a remote setup in the lobby of the Jefferson Theater in downtown Beaumont, Richardson performed for a total of 5 days, 2 hours, and 8 minutes.
Now, what if they got overtime?
Oh. Now, see, I've always been told that if you're performing more than 4 hours, consult the doctor.
Yeah.
Well, he played 1,821 records, and he took showers during the five-minute newscast. He was also credited for creating.
I think this CMA was like scrubbing himself and like, yeah, it was like partly cloudy today.
Right. Get clean.
Richardson's also credited for creating the first music video in 1958 and recorded an early example himself.
Cool.
He played guitar and began his musical career as a songwriter. George Jones later recorded Richardson's White Lightning, which became Jones's first number one country hit in 1959.
I didn't know he wrote that.
Yeah, and it hit number 73 on the pop charts. Richardson also wrote Running Bear for Johnny Preston.
Remember that song, too?
His friend from Port Arthur, Texas. The inspiration for the song came from Richardson's childhood memory of the Sabine River, where he heard stories about Indian tribes. Richardson sang background on Running Bear, but the recording was not released until August 1959, 7 months after his death. The song became a number one hit for 3 weeks in January of 1960. The man who launched Richardson as a recording artist was Harold Pappy Daly from Houston.
Big Pappy.
Big Pappy. Daly was a promotion director for Mercury and Starday Records and signed Richardson to Mercury. His first single, Beggar to a King, had a country flavor but failed to gain any chart action. He soon cut Chantilly Lace as the Big Bopper for Pappy's Daly's D label. Mercury bought the recording and released it in the summer of 58. It reached number 6 on the pop charts and spent 22 weeks in the national top 40. It also inspired an answer record by Jane Mansfield titled That Makes It. In Chantilly Lace, Richardson pretends to have a flirting conversation with his girlfriend. The Mansfield record suggests that his girlfriend might have been saying at the other end of the line. Later that year, he scored a second hit, a novelty tune entitled The Big Bopper's Wedding, in which Richardson pretends to be getting cold feet at the altar. With the success of Chantilly Lace, Richardson took time off from KTRM radio and joined Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and Dion and the Belmonts for a winter dance party tour. On the 11th night of the tour, the musicians played the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa. Holly chartered a plane to fly them to the next show in Moorhead, Minnesota. The musicians
Was they going?
Moorhead, Minnesota.
Moorhead.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll get more into the accident, but he at the time he hadn't made a lot of money at this point.
No, he hadn't made a lot of money. So after the accident, Richardson was survived by his wife and five-year-old daughter. His son, Jay Perry, was born 2 months later in April of 1959.
So he never really met his dad?
He never did. No.
Not close.
Yeah, no.
What kind of?
Not allegedly. Well, no. At the time of his death, Richardson had been building a recording studio in his home in Beaumont and was also planning to invest in a radio station. He had written 20 new songs he planned to record himself or with other artists. Let's see.
I think I read it, and I think he had like $8 in his wallet when he died.
J. Perry Richardson took up a musical career and was known professionally as the Big Bopper Jr. and performed around the world. He toured on the Winter Dance Party Tour with Buddy Holly impersonator John Mueller on some of the stages where his father performed. In January of 2007, Jay requested that his father's body be exhumed and an autopsy be performed to settle rumors that a gun was fired or that Richardson initially survived the crash.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy conspiracy theories after the crash.
There always is. The autopsy was performed by Dr. Bill Bass, a forensic anthropologist at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. Jay was present when Dr. Bass threw out the autopsy and observed as the casket was open. Both men were surprised to find the remains well enough preserved to be recognizable as those of the late rock star.
Yeah, he still, I mean, the hair and everything was in place. Mm-hmm.
Dad still amazes me 48 years after his death that he was in remarkable shape, Richardson told the Associated Press. I surprised myself. I handled it better than I thought I would. Dr. Bass's findings indicated no signs of foul play. He was quoted as saying, there are fractures from head to toe, massive fractures. Richardson died immediately. He didn't crawl away. He didn't walk away from the plane. After the autopsy, Richardson's body was placed in a new casket made by the same company as the original, then was reburied next to his wife in Beaumont's Forest Lawn Cemetery. Jay then allowed the old casket to be put on display at the Texas Musicians Museum. In December of 2008, Jay Richardson announced that he would be placing the old casket up for auction on eBay, giving a share of the proceeds, just a share, to the Texas Musicians Museum, but downplayed the suggestion in later interviews. Jay Richardson Big Bopper Jr. died on August 21st, 2013, at the age of 54.
Yeah, I had read where he had... the Big Bopper never made any money when he was living, but Jay, his son, got like $100,000 a year in royalties from Chantilly Lace.
Yeah.
Even though he didn't make any money for himself, he made his life for his son a lot easier. But I don't know if you read this, but there's like no monuments or nothing for the Big Bopper in his hometown.
No. Now there's a couple of monuments at the crash site.
Yeah, but nothing in his hometown.
But nothing there. No, yeah. Not in Beaumont.
Yeah, which you would think that it would be. But anyway, so that's the Big Bopper. I've got Richie Valens, and Richie Stephen Valenzuela was born on May 13th, 1941, in Pacoma, California, which is a neighborhood of San Fernando Valley region of Los Angeles. His parents, Joseph Stephen Valenzuela and Concepcion Reyes, were his parents. They were Mexican descent. He was brought up listening to traditional Mexican music, R&B, jump blues, and he expressed, Richie Valens expressed interest in music at a very young age of 5. He was encouraged by his father to take up the guitar at the age of 9 and trumpet, and he later taught himself the drums. One day, a neighbor came across Richie trying to play guitar and only had 2 strings, and he restrung the instrument for Richie and taught him how to play some chords. And while Richie was left-handed, he was eager to learn how to play the guitar and mastered it, the traditionally right-handed version of the instrument. He attended junior high there in his hometown, and he became quite popular with playing music for his friends at recess or break or whatever. When he was 16, he joined a local band called the Silhouettes, and he initially as a guitarist, but later the main vocalist left the group, and Richie assumed that position as well. He was self-taught for the most part as a musician, and he was a very accomplished singer and guitarist. He often improvised his lyrics and added new riffs to popular songs that he was playing. In addition to his performances with the Silhouettes, he would also play solo at parties and other social events. It was at one of these events that Bob Keane, the owner and president of a small record label, Delphi Records in Hollywood, heard about Richie Valens in May of 1958 and came to hear him play. Richie was known as Little Richard of the Valley at that point. But anyway, Keene was really impressed with Richie, and he signed him to a recording contract on May 27, 1958. And he changed his name to Richie instead of Richie because there was a lot of other Richies around, Little Richard at the time. And I guess
Richie instead of Richie?
Yeah, Richie instead, Richie instead of a T in there instead of Richie.
Oh.
What a difference.
And he asked him to shorten his surname from Valenzuela to Valens in order to widen his appeal and get beyond the ethnicity, I guess.
So now his name is Richie Valens.
Richie Valens.
Valens.
Yeah. So at a single studio session on the afternoon of July 1958, he recorded his first hit, Come On, Let's Go. And it was released within days, and it got up to it just fell short of the top 40, so he did very well. His next record was a double-sided record. You probably don't know what a double-sided record is, do you, Brittany?
Yes, that's I do.
So. Okay.
I'm making a comeback with young people, Timmy.
Yeah, I know.
You got a turntable at your house, girl.
No.
But she scratches. Yeah, I'm sure she scratches from time to time.
And flip it over.
Yeah. There were records, and then they'd have a song on each side. And on the A side of his next record was a song called Donna, which he wrote for a real girlfriend, Donna. Forget her last name. But anyway, that's not important. Ludwig. Donna Ludwig, his high school sweetheart. And on the flip side was La Bama.
They only had one song on each side?
Yeah.
Well, that was on the smaller.
Those was only
called, they were called 45s.
They were called 45s. It was only about that big, about the size of the pizza you just ate before. And,
oh.
And they spun at a different. The reason they were called 45s is they spun at 45 RPMs on the turntable. The long ones was 33s. The albums, they spun 33 and a third.
Yeah.
So you call them 33
rounds
or
per minute. Is that what it was? Rotations per minute or something?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, La Bamba and Donna became hits. And Keene booked appearances for Richie Valens, who was just a teenager at the time. Valens had a fear of flying. Due to a freak accident that occurred at his high school on January 31st, 1957, two airplanes collided over the playground, killing and injuring several of his friends. He had been at his grandfather's funeral at the time, so he wasn't there, but he had, you know, that kind of put the fear of God in him when it comes to planes. But he eventually overcome his fear to travel by airplanes for his career. He appeared on Dick Clark's American Bandstand on October 6, 1957. 1958, and did Come On, Let's Go. He also flew to Hawaii and performed there. And then he joined Alan Freed's Christmas Jubilee in New York City. So he was getting, you know, a lot of notoriety. And that is when he was invited to join the Winter Dance Party with Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper, among others. And he joined that, and in February of 1959 was on that fateful flight that crashed outside of Clear Lake, Iowa. And
everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So that's Richie Valens died way too young. He was later to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but he died at a very young age, and at 17.
And was played by Lou Diamond Phillips.
He was played by Lou Diamond Phillips in a movie. And before we moved on to Buddy Holly, there was a movie, La Bamba, that was about Richie Valens' life. There was the Buddy Holly story, and Colonel and I were talking about that. That thing is almost 40 years old now. That's hard to believe. It seemed like a Gary Busey played Buddy Holly.
Gary Busey?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. But it seems like that was, it didn't seem that long ago, but it's been 40 years ago since the movie. So, but the big star of this whole winter caravan, winter dance party that was the main attraction, of course, was Buddy Holly, who had a string of hits at a very young age. Buddy was only 22. And to tell us about him is the Colonel.
Well, and he was born Charles Harden Holly, and there's actually an E in the last, H-O-L-L-E-Y, in 1936. He was just like every other musician, started out kind of small, kicking around here and there, and then he got noticed. And think about this, the boy's 19 years old, and he's opening up for Elvis Presley.
Yeah,
in
that's 1955.
Amazing. Wow.
Now, he opened up for Elvis Presley three times a year in 1955.
And this time, Elvis was a star at this point.
Yeah, Elvis was a big star. And Buddy Holly at this point had done, he was mostly a country western act. But because he was opening for Elvis, he changed it to more rock and roll. And then he opened up for Bill Haley and his Comets. Now, that's when Holly got recognized by a Nashville scout, Eddie Crandall. Helped him get a contract with Decca. So one of the things that led to this whole crash was he has a contract with Decca Records.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, his recording sessions are done by this guy named Owen Bradley, but Holly didn't like the way that Bradley was recording, the restrictions, everything else. So he goes to this guy, Norman Petty, in New Mexico. Well, Petty decides to be their manager, to record them, to do everything else. And so they release a demo of That'll Be the Day. But
which was his one of his...
his number one hits.
Right.
However, because of his association with Decca Records, he could not release it as Buddy Holly. So they released it as The Crickets. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the big thing about Buddy Holly is not really the hits that he had, because he was just out. The guy only had a career that lasted maybe a year and a half, 2 years. He's 19. He was 22 when he died. 19 opening for Elvis. It's what he did for rock and roll. And the big thing that Buddy Holly did was, he changed the format of he created really the format of what a traditional rock and roll band is.
Mm-hmm.
With your lead guitarist, your rhythm guitarist, your drummer, and right. Your bass player. Buddy Holly did that. The other thing that Buddy Holly did that was much different than everybody else.
He had cool hair.
He had very cool hair.
And
he had different glasses, and he was actually told by someone to... switch to the horn rim glasses that he popularized.
Mm-hmm.
He actually made Roy Orbison. Roy Orbison believed that he was just too ugly and nobody with glasses could make it in rock and roll. But after seeing Buddy Holly do it, Roy Orbison went on to do it. And the big thing, another big thing was the Stratocaster in rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Stratocaster had been considered a country and western guitar. Throughout his career, Buddy owned five different Stratocasters. And he made a guitar an integral part of the rock and roll song.
Yeah, he was very innovative. And his music critics, compared him to, Beethoven. They compared him to, the classic.
Well, and if you look at, his songs and what led to the crash really was... this fight that they had between his original manager, that Crandall, who helped him get a contract with Decca, But then he had a falling out with Petty because nobody was getting any royalties. So Holly fired Petty. But the Crickets
were under contract.
Were under contract, and they wanted to keep Petty, so Buddy left the band. Now he meets his wife in New York City, Maria Elena, and they get married, but Buddy has no money. Mm-hmm. You know, he's had these hit songs, but he's had no money. He's seen no royalties from it. So he decides to do this tour.
Winter dance.
Yeah, and that's when he gets Waylon Jennings, and we'll get into that when we get into the crash. But so he has to get a backup band, and he does this thing. Does this, the Midwest Dance Tour. But anyway, the important thing about Buddy Holly is his legacy. I mean, the legacy that he left behind and the people that he influenced. And his two biggest, John Lennon, Paul McCartney. Mm-hmm. What was the name of their band? The Beatles. I mean, you got the Crickets, the Beatles. Mm-hmm. That's who they influenced. The first album that Eric Clapton ever bought was a Buddy Holly of Crickets. Here's an interesting one. Bruce Springsteen told Dave Marsh, "I play Buddy Holly every night before I go on. That keeps me honest." Elton John.
I find that very uninteresting.
Just play your Candy Crush, girl.
I'm listening.
But you have all these people who, you know, Elvis was a huge influence when he went on, because Buddy Holly was on Ed Sullivan twice. Mm-hmm. But you have all these people who, you know, he had such a short career, but he influenced all these musicians, Elton John. I mean, all these people will tell you Buddy Holly was their mm-hmm. major influence in life. And as I said, Roy Orbison, he influenced them. Because he had a very, he had a very strange way of playing guitar. Mm-hmm. He had the stuttering vocals that nobody had ever done before. And he was very innovative. He did things that, Mick Jagger said that, the biggest influence on Rolling Stones was Buddy Holly. You know, so all these people that...
Weezer.
Yeah.
Weezer said that. Any band really that is set up in a four-man traditional format, guitarist, rhythm guitarist, drummer, bass player.
Starts with Buddy Holly.
Yeah. And before that you had,
So you get into you talked about the contract and the falling out with his manager. So he couldn't take the Crickets with him on his tour.
He could not take the Crickets with him, and he was broke. He was just deathly broke, and he did not...
And he just got married. Yeah, he was only married like a few months, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he couldn't play any... I mean, he could play shows, but he had to play him as Buddy Holly. He couldn't, mm-hmm. And the Crickets, he was kind of estranged from the Crickets because...
Mm-hmm. Right.
They chose that, but, yeah...
So
Buddy Holly was inducted into the inaugural class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1986.
So he was on this
group that went in
with this winter dance party. He recruits Waylon Jennings and Tommy Alsup.
To go with him.
And Waylon Jennings at the time was a kind of a DJ in the Lubbock area.
He was a struggling musician. He wanted to be a musician. He was kind of a struggling DJ.
But Buddy saw something
in him that, and Waylon Jennings. So Waylon Jennings was actually his bass player. Waylon Jennings, we all know him as a guitarist, but he was actually
before this tour started, he gave Waylon a bass and said, "You got 2 weeks to learn how to play this thing."
And he didn't. And you know what he did? He just listened to. He didn't learn the bass parts of the song. He just made up his own bass parts.
Yeah.
But he learned the songs.
Right.
But that's, really, Buddy Holly, it's amazing that a guy that was around such a short time
had
such a huge influence. Because when you talk about Elvis, Elvis was around for 20 years, 25 years. You talk about the bigger influences in music. They were all around. But Buddy Holly, in a year and a half, really changed.
But did Elvis write his own music?
No.
No, 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 no. He just performed, right? I mean,
yeah, he was just performing. But I mean, you've seen Elvis on, you know, so many, a lot of musicians will say, you know, I seen Elvis on Ed Sullivan.
Right, right.
I seen, but, you know, Buddy Holly fundamentally changed rock and roll by the way he set up the band, by the way his guitar riffs were. He liked to play the low neck of the guitar instead of just rhythm parts, you know, up until then. There was not a lot of string bending in rock and roll. There was not a lot of things like that.
And he did not look like a rock star.
No, he did not look like a rock star at all.
Under the best of circumstances.
He looked like Elvis Costello.
He does look like Elvis Costello.
Yeah, or vice versa.
But, you know, the bands that came after him, like I said, the Beatles.
He was the Beatles' biggest influence.
Weezer. Yeah. I would not put...
Could be Winger.
And obviously, we will get to the plane crash. His demise, like so many other men, his demise was trying to get to Moorhead.
Okay. So that brings us to February 3rd, 1959, and the plane crash. So the group, as mentioned, was just finished a gig at the Surf Room. Is that the name of the place?
Mm-hmm.
In Clear Lake, Iowa. Man, I have got to get to Iowa. There's so many cool things. There's the Buddy Holly plane crash.
The Hobo Festival.
The Hobo Convention, which I think is next month.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't go to Iowa yet?
The Vascali Axe Murder House.
Didn't they just have all the pride parades and everything else?
I don't know.
D's Nuts is running.
D's Nuts is running for president, and Petoluma, Iowa is where Radar is from.
So yeah.
Lots going on in Iowa. I've never been to Iowa. I've got to make it out. But anyway.
There's a lot of corn in Iowa.
Clear Lake, Iowa is where they were playing, and it was in the middle of winter. It was, as I said, February 3rd, 1959. And they had been riding, they were about a week and a half, 2 weeks into this winter tour, and they had all been riding a bus, and the bus was not heat, they had no heat, and several members of the group had been getting sick, one member got a frostbite. I mean, it sounded like a miserable experience. So Buddy Holly decides he's going to charter a flight.
Well, other thing that they did, Tim, when they put this tour together, they did not look at the logistics and the distances between venues. So they started to run into trouble, which led to him booking this flight.
Yeah, so he books this flight to get them from Clear Lake to, I think they were, the flight was to go to somewhere in North Dakota, which is right outside Moorhead, Minnesota.
Yeah.
And but the plane only had room for three people and the pilot. Pilot is key, so really it was just three passengers. Buddy Holly wanted to go because he wanted to get some rest and he wanted to do some laundry. They'd been on, like I said, they'd been on a week and a half, 2 weeks on this tour, and he wanted to do some laundry. So originally it was supposed to have been him and his two backup players, Waylon Jennings and Tommy Alsup. But Tommy Alsup and Richie Valens decided to flip a coin to see who would get to go on the plane and who had to go on the bus. And unfortunately for Richie Valens, he won the coin toss, so he got to go on the flight and save himself that miserable bus ride. Waylon Jennings was again supposed to go on it, but the Big Bopper had not been feeling well. He was one of the ones that was getting sick, getting the flu, and he asked Waylon if he would switch with him. Waylon agreed, so the Big Bopper, Richie Valens, and Buddy Holly, along with the pilot, boarded the plane, and it took off in snowy conditions on February 3rd, 1959, and had just flown a few miles before the plane went down and crashed, killing all on board. And it was a, they were killed instantly. They took off late at night. Again, it was bad weather conditions, wintry in Iowa. The pilot.
The thing on that is it was clear when they took off.
Mm-hmm.
It was very clear when they took off. They did not tell the pilot that there was two winter advisories He did not know about him. He did not know that he was flying into a potential balloon.
Yeah, I think the pilot got the most of the blame. He was inexperienced, and like the colonel said, he was flying in conditions he was probably had no idea he was flying into. I also read he wasn't that familiar with that plane, and he was thought he was gaining altitude and actually was bringing it down.
What they speculate happened is he hit the blizzard. He flew into the blizzard.
Couldn't see.
He was not certified to fly by instrumentation alone. So he was trying to get up above the precipitation, but instead of going up, he was going down.
Actually, they hit
the ground. They said at about 170 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And there was some, you can get into the, there was one thing that I read that listed all the injuries, and I mean, it was pretty traumatic.
Yeah, they said that when they exhumed the Big Bopper, they said he would have died. He had three injuries that would have certainly killed him on impact. I think a head injury. I think he broke his
punctured the lungs.
Yeah.
They said Buddy Holly, when they found him, his skull was split in half.
Yeah, it was very, very
and it was 10 traumatic. Hours before they found him.
Yeah.
Well, and here's my thing. You send one of your less experienced pilots to go fly this rock star and his entourage to go somewhere.
But I guess
I don't think it was really an airline. I think they were just looking around somebody in the town that had a plane.
Yeah, he just wanted. I think it was Buddy Holly's idea. He just wanted to get to that next venue quicker. It was miserable. Like I said, the bus was so miserable.
He was trying to get to Moorhead as quickly as he could.
And him and Waylon, who were good friends, he was a mentor to Waylon Jennings. They teased each other. And when they got on the plane, and Waylon said the last thing he said to him, the last thing Buddy had said to him is, "I hope you freeze your ass off on that bus." And then Waylon said, "Well, I hope your plane crashes." So, I mean, he had to live with that his whole life.
That's sad.
Yeah. I mean, he meant nothing by it, but, you know, it's just one of those odd things.
It's bad juju to say.
Yeah, it's real bad juju.
Yeah, but
maybe you should consider that with some of the things you say to me and the brown hat devil.
Yeah, because what if they just drop dead one day?
Yeah.
Like the last thing you said.
Why are you laughing?
Yeah. It would be tragic. Okay. I love the humor you bring to the show, Brittany. So anyway, a very sad event. So Brittany's going to tell us kind of the aftermath.
Yeah. And this is sad, too. Buddy Holly's pregnant wife, Maria.
Yeah, she was pregnant at the time.
Yep, and they'd only been married for 6 months. Learned of his death through reports on the news.
So man, wouldn't that be awful?
She was never told by anybody directly. I couldn't imagine, seeing that on TV. It would be horrible.
And she kind of freaked out.
Yeah, yeah.
As you can imagine.
She suffered a miscarriage due to psychological trauma.
Yeah, man.
Didn't she have that miscarriage the next day?
This
next day.
Okay.
The following day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Due to the trauma of the news.
One of the things that changed because of this is that the FAA does not release the names of victims until the next of kin's notified.
Yeah, because Waylon Jennings' brother heard about it on the radio, and they thought he was on the plane.
Yeah.
But then he called a couple hours later to let them know he was okay, but they thought he had died.
Right, because they didn't know who was on the plane. But Maria did not attend the funeral, and she'd never visited the gravesite. And in an interview, she said, quote, "In a way, I blame myself. I was not feeling well when he left. I was 2 weeks pregnant, and I wanted Buddy to stay with me, but he had a scheduled tour."
You have to remember they were very young.
Right. She's only 21, right? Yeah. He was also 21 or so.
Yeah, he was 22.
Okay.
He was 22.
Yeah. And then she said, "It was the only time I wasn't with him, and I blame myself because I know that if I had only gone along, Buddy would have never gotten into that airplane."
Yeah. And the good thing for her is at least, financially, she did get the rights to his name and to his trademark. So, Colonel and I was talking about how music, the music industry was at the time. We were surprised that she had that those rights.
But do you know who she sold the music rights to?
Michael Jackson.
No.
What?
Paul McCartney.
Really?
Paul
Close
McCartney
enough.
Bought Ellen's buddy Holly's music rights catalog.
Close right? enough. Oh, wow.
But there is a, as Brandy mentioned earlier, there is a memorial at the crash site. I guess it's on private property in Clear Lake, Iowa. Of course, Buddy Holly is also in
the... It's a big set of glasses.
Hall of Fame. No, about his glasses, but mentioning his glasses. They found his glasses like a week later, I think.
Yeah.
A week later, because there was snow on the ground.
Sure.
They couldn't find it. And they found his... They did find his glasses a week later, and I want to say it's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
They are in the Rock and Roll. I've seen them. Yeah. They're in the Rock and Roll. His glasses were intact.
Yeah. Crazy.
So the winter dance party didn't stop. The tour didn't stop. Waylon Jennings and Tommy also.
The show must go on.
Carried on performing.
How did you go on performing after?
I know. I wouldn't. But they performed for two more weeks, and Jennings took Holly's place as lead singer. Which
He toured. I remember when I was a kid, he toured with the Crickets for a while. Mm. Waylon Jennings did. After he was a big star on his own.
Yeah.
He would, I guess he was throwing them a bone or something.
That would be hard to.
But it would be cool to see.
And like you said, the show goes on.
But who else, Colonel, who else didn't, wouldn't you tell me someone else finished a tour as well?
Frankie Valli came in and did, finished a tour too.
So meanwhile, the funerals, were held individually. Holly and Richardson were buried in Texas, Valens in California, and the pilot buried in Iowa.
Yeah, poor pilot. He died, too, but he didn't give him a lot of the recognition.
No.
A lot of the blame, but none of the recognition. But again, the thing is that they were so young.
But at the crash, actually at the memorial site, the crash site, there are a large pair
of glasses.
Black horn rim glasses at the, you know, a carrot. I mean, they're about 6 foot long.
Uh-huh.
6 foot wide.
Why do you know that?
I've seen a picture of it.
Because
I do my research, Devin.
That
why
is why
read something
the Colonel is on this podcast, because his knowledge is boundless.
Yeah, I mean, when I got a subject, I study it. I mean,
do you?
Like John Wilkes Booth's like John Wilkes Booth's mummy.
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing.
I'm looking at the picture of the crash site, and I don't see 6 foot.
Yeah, he's making.
No, he made that up.
I will show
there,
it to
there
you.
Are like there are like guitars there or something.
There are
you know, it's funny because
guitar.
The day that Elvis died, there was 25,000 people in front of Graceland.
Now have bananas.
And they. What's wrong with that?
I tell you what, I've been to Graceland, and it's a dump. Sorry, it's a dump.
Renee was there, and she But you know, there was no vigil for Buddy Holly. There was no his parents were Baptists. They did not like the music that he played. They did not like that devil rock and roll. And they played no music at his funeral service of his. They basically pretended that nothing that he was never a star. He was just a son. Mm. They didn't acknowledge who he was. So you know, there was no. It was kind of odd because. You know, they went down in a cornfield.
Middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere.
So. Poor Maria. She damn pregnant and lose her baby and lose her husband in the same
But
week.
She did eventually remarry and have three kids.
And she's still alive today.
She's still alive today.
She's like 82.
Yep. She's 82, and I believe she's in New York, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And she spends most of her life protecting Buddy Holly's legend, or legacy.
She has made millions and millions and millions of dollars. I mean, she must have got her a good lawyer because she was young.
Yeah, and you know, how the music industry just screwed the musicians back then. It's amazing that she got the rights to anything, but I'm glad she did. Same way with the Big Bopper. His son did okay with the royalties off of Chantilly Lace and the other other songs that he had. So good for them. Tragedy. And, of course, this all became memorialized again in 1970 with, as we said before, Don McLean's American Pie, when he, and at least the first part of the song talks about the day the music died, when Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens died in the plane crash.
Well, and you know, we, in the chorus we was talking about yesterday, and I was reading up on this, and the part we couldn't figure out was a lonely teenage Bronc and Buck incarnation, the pickup truck. which was a description of what Don McLean visualized the kids coming to this dance would be wearing.
To
these shows, yeah.
Yeah, to these shows, okay.
A Bronken Buck.
Yeah. Great song.
Boy,
great song. Nice. And, you know, you can listen to that song like anytime. You can just turn it on anytime. It's great. No matter what. And what kind of mood you're in, you listen to American Pie. You ever listen to American Pie?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Have you heard
Does she have anything else?
Go ahead.
Brittany,
no. No, we got it all.
Do you have any closing comment, young Brittany?
I do not.
You're going to be joining us as often as you can?
Yes. So I don't need to say any goodbyes or see you later.
No, because it's back. Only until we meet again.
Okay.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Bye, Felicia.
Brandy.
Yes.
Any final thoughts, comments on the Big Bopper, Richie Valens, or Buddy Holly, Plane Crash, Chuck?
He may be getting fired soon. So
yeah, bye.
We may have to buy Felicia Chuck.
Yes.
So, you know, that's going to be a sad day.
Can I have his job?
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely can have his job.
Absolutely.
I would Chuck, be proud. I'd be honored if you would take my position.
You just showing up would actually be more than what he does.
Yeah,
so
I'll do that. I'll come.
You have much nicer hair. Yeah. I'll say that.
Yeah.
She does.
It's not that prison cut.
It's, yeah. You know, I figured out what it is with the girl.
Uh-huh.
Her hair is shiny.
It is.
It's shiny, and
she could do like she can do shampoo.
Like a commercial.
The girl could do shampoo commercials. And when you like Homer Simpson, and you're looking out there, and you stand, you know, we stand out there in the outside area, and
we look like Homer Simpson in his underwear.
Yeah, and you look at the back of Britney's head, and all of a sudden, what comes? You know what pops into your mind?
Yeah.
Shiny. Shiny. And then that's how you end up touching the hair.
Right, because you like to touch shiny things.
Yeah.
You're weird.
Let's say you end up touching her hair. I went on a record that I don't touch your hair.
Yeah.
Right? Okay,
nope.
Thank you.
No, Tim does not.
Okay.
But for the record, it's very quite silky, unlike the rough thing you got going on top of your head.
But you know what? I would like to give a shout out, final shout out to Brandy's husband, Dave.
Well, Dave. And you know who I'd like to give a shout out to? Dave, first of all, Dave, I'm sure there's like 3 or 4 mods out there that just came out this week that you haven't bought that you need to look up and grab.
The Colonel is into electronic smoking.
Not like Dave. Dave, it has become a religion today. and Dave is a... I will say this. I don't know how the devil landed this man.
I don't know how the devil ever landed this man. It's a mystery wrapped in an enigma. Whatever.
I will get on the phone with Dave.
Yeah.
Dave and I are friends. And I will get on the phone with Dave.
Dave is the nicest guy.
And Dave will make his own. We both use electronic cigarettes. And Dave sometimes will make his own juice. You know, his own nicotine juice. And he will start giving me these formulas. You know, if you use 33% of this and 10% of this and 12% of that. But he does not realize that he's talking to somebody who
stupid.
Doesn't know.
Basically, I can't. I'm like, math is not necessarily my strong point.
It's like a second language.
And I'm just saying, Dave, no, all I want to know is, am I going to kill myself if I do this? That's all I want to know. Well, here's what you got to do, Chuck. Now you got to get some 28 gauge Canthal wire. You got to get you get yourself a 2 millimeter bit. You wrap it around 8 times, and I'm like, and that's going to give you, if you know Ohm's law. Now you know what Ohm's law is, and I'm like, what the hell did I call somebody in China or something? You're talking Chinese to me here.
You're from the west side of Cincinnati.
But the man is just a genius.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is with him, but
which is so ironic that he married Brandy.
I think it's
like
that yin and yang thing.
Oh, it gives him balance.
Because I don't think the girl would have survived on her own.
Brandy,
we both know if it weren't for Dave, she'd be on a pole right now.
Well, that's probably true. But she is Brandy is very bright. It's just that she is sometimes a little rough around the edges, I would say.
Rough around the edges. That's kind
Brandy
of like.
Tells it
like
it is.
Kind, I should run for president.
Kind of like number
you
four
sure like
grit.
Trump.
Number four grit sandpaper is rough around the edges, too. Brittany is just. Or not Brittany, Brandy. She's just hard and mean.
Yeah. But we love her. We love her.
Wow.
We love you.
But you got a wonderful husband.
You know what's great is I just bought your lunch.
You did and just buy my lunch, didn't
yeah,
you? You're a wonderful is, woman.
And
how,
yeah.
And I did yesterday, although he gave me money. But I still got it for him.
Yeah,
and you must add that while we're talking, if we're gonna downgrade and badmouth the devil all the time.
Yeah.
She does have a wonderful husband and her son, Jake. What did Jake just do last year?
I don't
know. I mean, he did, had some fantastic accomplishment in school.
He was student of the quarter.
Student of the quarter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Noah.
Noah is brilliant.
Cutest damn kid you're ever going to see.
He got a new bed.
But the boy is the
he's
devil.
Kind of a big deal.
The boy is the devil.
I think he went and saw some trains.
I mean, he wants to grow up to be a dinosaur.
That's okay. He's like 3 years old. Yeah. I think he's four.
I hope he is a dinosaur.
He wants to be a dinosaur when he grows up. Let him think that till he's four and a half, and then tell him he's got to do something else.
He's got to do vocation.
Yeah.
Son, you're going to have to get a real job.
No, I'm telling you. Let him be a dinosaur. You won't have to pay for college. It'll be great. All right. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Check us out where, Colonel?
You can check us out on Facebook.
Yeah.
At History Dweebs.
Where else?
You can check us out on the World Wide Web on HistoryDweeb.com.
World Wide Web.
But the most important thing is to check us out on iTunes.
And what would we like
and
for you
what
to
we
do?
Would really like to you to do, negative or positive, whatever you say, give us your feedback on what you think. Now, if you go to our webpage, you can send an email too, but leave a review, because we don't get enough reviews, and I believe that there's, you know, like NPR.
People are starting to talk.
Yeah, NPR.
Yeah.
I mean, they get all kinds of reviews. We're better than them.
Yeah.
We're better than them. I mean, we ain't sitting around talking about nonsensical stuff all the time.
Right, important stuff.
This is important stuff. Buddy Holly, I mean, he's one of the pioneers in rock and music. But
Albert Fish.
But
we would love your
Daylight
feedback.
Daylight Savings Time.
If you would like to suggest a program, send us an email at timtscott@yahoo.com, and we'll consider it. We have to keep things pretty simple. Colonel, kind of, as he mentioned, he likes things simple.
He's not very bright.
Well, I didn't want to say that.
He can't read very well.
I can read just fine.
It's a comprehending he struggles
We'll
with.
Catch you. Thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you again real soon on History Dweebs.
Bye.
So, bye.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.